Good morning, everybody. It's Bible reading time, and we're going to a chapter from Jewish wisdom literature. So you can follow in Proverbs chapter 14, or if you want to grab a Bible at the back there, you can follow from there. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Where there's no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvests. An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good rewarded for theirs. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Evildoers will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. It's a sin to despise one's neighbour, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. A large population is a king's glory, but without subjects a prince is ruined. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death the righteous seek refuge in God. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant arouses his fury. Amen.
It's the end of the year and the beginning of a new year. So it's a good opportunity, I think, to reflect on and reset our lives a little bit. Because I think the new year often provides a bit of a break in our normal routines. I think that reflection and resetting is a critical aspect of wise living. And so, being the last day of the year, this sermon has been shaped around helping us do this kind of thinking as we look at Proverbs 14 together. Today I'll draw out three main points from this chapter, just for us to ponder as sort of grist for the mill as we look ahead to the coming year, 2024. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you for 2023 and we thank you for 2024, which we look ahead to. Lord God, we pray that you help us to be wise as we plan and prepare for 2024. Help us to reflect with the help of your Spirit, Lord, and to refresh and to reset where we need to reset. We pray that as we look at your word today, that you speak to us, you challenge us, and you encourage us in many ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Generally, when we read Proverbs, we're supposed to take them as an observation and a thought about life, which is then to be applied wisely and carefully to our lives. Proverbs aren't given to be narrow in meaning and literal in application. They are to be chewed over and pondered. They are not rules and laws. You will have noticed that in the first verse of Proverbs 14, thanks, Anna, that's great. And if you do want to grab a Bible, there's some up the back shelf. You can flip backwards and forwards by the door. It opens with, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." And I think when the writer uses the word house here, they're referring to more than just the physical building. He's thinking more about their life. And I think the writer has probably observed over the years how some women, in his experience, were very good at homemaking. They maintained the garden, they took care of the interior, they ensured the cupboard was stocked, they managed the budget carefully so that expenses were paid and there was no wasted money. They were diligent, they were reliable in all of their management of the household. The children were trained and educated and provided for. Relationships with family and neighbours were maintained well. They were like the woman who is described and praised in Proverbs 31, who not only ensures the members of the household are provided for, but because of her shrewd and careful stewardship, there is also plenty to spare to generously care also for the poor. And so the writer probably also observed in his life that in contrast to the wise woman, there is a foolish woman. He saw foolish women who were wasteful spenders, irresponsible and lazy, and led by their selfish desires. Their neglect of their responsibilities led to the destruction of their own household. The children were unkempt and badly behaved, the house a mess, the finances a shambles, the husband frustrated and the marriage on tenterhooks. And as a result, there was shame on her and her family. Now, don't think the writer is being sexist here. He is observing and describing what he sees around him in his world. Let's not lose sight of his main point, which is that whether we are male or female, we can be people who build our lives or who tear down our lives. Today from this chapter, I'll draw out three main ways that we, by God's grace, can build our house or our lives well in 2024. To help remember the points, I've connected them to three stages of building a house: the foundation, the walls, and the roof. There's a house. To help you visualize it. So let's start with the foundation of our house. Every house needs to be built on a firm foundation, right? If we get the foundation wrong, the house collapses. It doesn't matter how good the walls and the roof are, if the foundation is bad, the house will fall. The book of Proverbs wants us to know that the fear of God is the foundation upon which our homes and our lives should be built. We read in chapter 9, verse 10 of Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You may ask, what exactly does it mean to fear God? And why is the fear of God so important in our lives? I would define fear of God, put simply, as a right recognition or a right understanding of God, of who God is, a right recognition of his power and his knowledge and his holiness. And the fear of God is important because if we don't fear God, we won't relate to him in the right way. And having a right fear of something is good, right? I fear the power of the bus on Stirling Highway, so I don't step in front of it. And I don't let my kids step in front of it. I fear the power of the cliff. I keep back from the edge. This is a right fear of power, isn't it? A wise employee shows proper respect to their boss because they know their boss can sack them. A sensible child won't take on their parents because they know they'll face the consequence. A right fear of someone or something impacts how we relate to it. I remember seeing a YouTube clip of a guy patting a lion through a fence. The lion suddenly turned and bit his arm and wouldn't let go. That's folly, right? That is not a wise fear of lions. A person who has a wise fear of God understands that we only exist because of his mercy and grace. They know that God can take life from them at any moment. This knowledge of God's total power over them causes them to want to know how to live rightly in relationship with him. In contrast to the wise person who fears God, the fool has no fear of God. They put aside the reality that God will one day judge them for how they've lived. They put aside their own weakness and their fragility. They become proud of themselves and their own achievements. They think they're self-sufficient. In verse 27, we read, "There is great reward for those who fear God because it becomes for them a fountain of life. It turns them from the snares of death." Fear of God becomes a fountain of life for the Christian because they've understood the truth of their position before God, that they're under the judgment of death because of their sin. And so in fear of God, they turn to God for forgiveness. They know there is nowhere else to go. And in turning to God, they meet Jesus. And in Jesus, they find forgiveness and mercy. As we read in 2 Corinthians, the person who fears God and runs to him discovers not judgment, but mercy. They find that God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. They find that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And they find that Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. And so having a healthy fear of God leads us to eternal life, doesn't it? If having a right fear of God in our hearts lays a great foundation for 2024, what can we do to build on the foundation? We read in verse 2, "Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly." And in verse 16, "The wise fear the Lord and shun evil." The wise person builds upon this foundation of fearing God by living an upright life. When we know God in truth, we will long to please him. The Apostle Paul writes, we know we will one day appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it a goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. We read in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, since we have these promises of life, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And James writes, who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Christians seek to live upright lives, not in fear of punishment, but because we are compelled or motivated by Christ's love for us and in our sincere reverence for God. And in honouring God with our lives, we find our house is built up and it is strengthened. Our Proverbs 14:11 says, the tent of the upright will flourish. And 14:22 says, those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. This year, if you are wise, you will strive to live an upright life, a life that pleases God, one that is pure and holy and good. And so as someone who wants your house to be solid and strong, is there anything that you may need to repent of that is impure? Is there any envy or pride or bitterness, or is there anger? Is there dishonesty? Is there selfishness? Is there lust? And have you made concrete plans for 2024 to do good things? There are many plans we can make for good, aren't there? We can plan to be hospitable with our homes. We can plan to support mission. We can plan to foster a child. We can plan to visit the lonely in nursing homes. We can plan to encourage, to share the gospel, to get more involved in church. Those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Well, the third part of the house is the roof. Today in this sermon, the roof of the house is prudence. Now, I just want to emphasize, I'm not trying to say that our lives are built on just these three things, fear of God, upright living, and prudence. They are just the three big things that jumped out for me from chapter 14. If I was preaching from chapter 13, I might have chosen three different points, but equally good things to talk about. This word prudence occurs a lot in the book of Proverbs. It is a dominant theme. But what exactly is it? Verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. And 14:15, the prudent give thought to their steps. The prudent think carefully about what they're doing and why they're doing it. They're not rash and they're not foolish. It's wise to be prudent, isn't it? We can see the benefits of it in everyday life, can't we? The prudent person budgets so they don't run out of money. The prudent person checks for submerged rocks before jumping off a cliff into the ocean. The prudent person doesn't get into a car with a drunk driver. The prudent person doesn't go and wander the dangerous parts of the city late at night alone. The prudent person chooses friends carefully. A prudent person diversifies their investments. They don't gamble. Let me run through a few examples Proverbs gives of prudence, and maybe they'll spark some thoughts for you about prudence in your own life this year. The writer says that the prudent son gathers crops in summer. The son realizes if he doesn't get up and work, there'll be no food in winter, and there'll be no seed to sow the following year. He thinks about his actions. He thinks about the consequence of his actions. He doesn't think, I'm going to leave the work to Dad while I go and party. He understands responsibility and he works hard. In Proverbs 10:19, we read the prudent hold their tongue rather than multiplying words. Hopefully this is a shorter sermon. They think before they speak. They wonder, how will my words be received? Will they build up or discourage? Are they wise or foolish? Are they gentle or inflammatory? Are they proud words or humble words? Will they lead the listener towards good or towards ill? Proverbs 12:16, we read, the fool shows their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. The prudent, though insulted, reason that reacting to that insult benefits neither party. They consider the bigger picture, the relationship. What's going to happen if things escalate? They think, can I not show grace to this person as my Father in heaven has shown grace to me? We've already talked about the benefits of the prudent wife earlier in chapter 31 of Proverbs. In 15:15, the prudent heeds correction. They listen to the words of others. They weigh them. They consider them carefully. They don't react and they don't block their ears in pride or in defensiveness or in stubbornness. This year, let us build our lives and our house with prudence. Let's think carefully about what we're doing and why we're doing it before we do it. Because as verse 18 declares, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Thinking about your steps this year, where are you going in life? How are you growing in your faith? What are you doing each day that grows you in righteousness and faithfulness? What are you doing that might need to change, both big and small? Where will you be as a Christian in 20 years if you maintain the current spiritual disciplines that you maintain? Things like prayer and Bible reading, service in God's church. Will you be closer to God or further from Him? What is your trajectory? What are your steps? Now, in finishing up, though I said I was only going to highlight 3 points from chapter 14 about building our house or life, I wanted to throw in a bonus point that stood out to me. One which considers how our house relates to our neighbours. In verse 20, we get the writer's observation, the poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. The writer, again, he's describing what he sees in society. Poor people are shunned in society, but rich people have many friends. Why is this so? It's because the rich can offer us something, right? Whereas the poor want something. And because we're inherently selfish, we're drawn to the rich and repelled by the poor. But is it right that the poor are shunned while the rich are flattered? We read in the next verse and in verse 31 that it is not right. It's a sin to despise one's neighbour. But blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. And it's reinforced in verse 31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honours God. The proverb is clear, isn't it? If we shun the poor, or the outcast, or the troubled, we are shunning God Himself, because He is their maker. They're powerful words. God loves the poor and the outcast. We see this in the way Jesus spent so much time with such as these in the Gospels. This year, as we build our house, as we build our lives, let's also to help build the houses of others, especially the poor. Let us not despise the poor whom God has made. As James says in chapter 1 of 27, he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This year, perhaps, caring for the poor can be part of the planning of good deeds that we can do. Can you sponsor a child? Can you support overseas workers, missionaries, as they minister to the poorest in the world, like Jill and Lauren? Maybe you can support other ministries like Anglican World Aid or Baptist World Aid or the Barnabas Fund. Maybe, as I've said earlier, you can think about fostering a child. There are so many things that we can do. There are so many things that we can plan for 2024 that are good. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that we will be like the wise woman who builds her house, not like the foolish one who tears hers down. We pray that we will build our house on a right fear of you, a right understanding of you, a right worship of you and reverence for you. And that will bring us to you in humility, where we will discover your grace and your love and your forgiveness. We pray that compelled by this love that you have for us, we will live upright lives that bring you glory. We pray we will shun evil. We will turn away from it. We will choose what is good. We will seek purity and holiness. Lord, we pray that we will be thoughtful in all that we do, that we will be prudent, that we will plan, we'll think, we'll test, we'll reflect on all of our days, on our hours, on our steps, on our relationships. We pray for wisdom, that you fill us with wisdom. Father God, we pray that you will give us a heart for those in need, those who are poor both physically but also poor spiritually, who need the gospel of life that is found in Jesus. We pray this year you will shape our year in a way that glorifies you and honors you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.